nobody's greater. Nobody's greater. Nobody greater. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Nobody's greater. You got to get that in your spirit. Not only nobody's greater, but no thing is greater, because you go through your daily life, you start to think that some things are greater, but no thing is greater. There's no name above that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Nothing is greater. Your pain is not greater. Your marriage is not greater. Your money is not greater. Your business is not greater. Your job is not greater. Your nice outfit and your pretty shoes ain't greater. Nobody's greater. Nothing is greater. Your boss is not more powerful. Your boss is not more powerful. Don't you know? God turns the heart of the king in whichever direction he chooses. Your boss is not more powerful than God. You're not trapped. You think you're trapped, but you're not trapped. And some of you are making yourselves smaller in the space that you're in because you think you're trapped. Well, this is just what I have to put up with for this time being. These are the limitations in which I must live. These are the boundaries within which I must occupy my time. And so you begin to make yourself smaller to fit, to endure. You're putting your head down to make it through. But God said, lift up your head. You are not trapped. You are not trapped. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they weren't trapped. They weren't trapped. It's all in his timing, but you're not trapped. You walk in with your head up and your shoulders back. They not getting one over on you, no matter what they think. There's no limitation. You're not trapped. My God, go ahead, y'all. I'm going to keep y'all on your feet. Nobody's greater. Glory, 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 glory. All right. The Lord woke me up early this morning, and this is what he said. Are you ready? 2017's door is opening. Get your emotional and spiritual house ordered, sorted, and packed. Leave some stuff behind. Not everything is going to fit through the door. Not everything that you have now is going to fit through the door. Don't try. See, sometimes we try. Well, maybe if I take it apart and put it through the door piece by piece, then reassemble it on the other side. No, 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 no. Don't try. Some things will be painful to let go of. Some of it is pain to let go of. Believe God. Then minister is going to go right up here and say, who do you believe? Believe God is going to do what he said he would do. Refresh your belief. You know, you hit that refresh button. It's not loading right. The screen, everything's not there. Refresh your belief. Recommit to your belief. Pursue your belief. Amen? Have a seat. God, I thank you. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this house. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for the grace that you have given me, least of all saints, that I might have the privilege and the honor of speaking the mysteries of Christ. Thank you. I don't take it lightly. God, we thank you for our pastor as he ministers out today and the honor that he's given me to stand here. And I thank you that he trusts me. I thank you that you have blessed me in this earthen vessel, God, with this word for this house, for this moment. Father God, let people not be challenged, but changed. Father God, let them leave inspired, imagining all that you said you will do, you are going to do. God, reignite our imagination, our holy imagination, because you are eternal, and there's no limits to what you can do. And we thank you, Father God, that we are not trapped. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So 2017 door is opening. I could see it as I was, as I heard the voice of the Lord. I'm scrambling around in the bed. I couldn't find a pen. I had to type it on my phone. It was coming so fast, but I could see this door that's slowly opening, almost with a creak sound, starting to open for what's coming for 2017. He's beginning to open the door. So the first thing that I need to explain to you today is make sure you understand what a door is for. All right? Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting on the post of the door. So there's a difference between a gate and a door. And sometimes we think of them in the same way. So we talked about, Minister Glenn mentioned how we should enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is our token to get the gate open. Gates restrict access to something. That's the purpose of a gate. It restricts access to something. And so you need to be able to pass through a gate, either give the guard what they want or have the key, but you need to pass through a gate. So when you come into his house, you're supposed to enter the gates with thanksgiving. You can be in the house, but you might not be inside the gates. Some of you are sitting on the pew right now. You're in the building, but you didn't come into the gates because you have to have thanksgiving to get into the gates. So sometimes you come to church and you feel like I left and I feel like I didn't even really go to church today. I guess I'm so heavy. I can understand. Because you didn't get in the gate. Thanksgiving opens the gate. So you can think you're all up in the space, but if you haven't gotten that gate open. So we have to be careful. Gates restrict access. But doors give access. So the Lord is opening the door of what he's going to do for you in 2017. That door has begun to swing open. Many of you are camped out at gates. You're so focused on what you are restricted from. You're so focused on what you're trying to get to and what you feel like you can't have and what you feel like isn't available to you. You're camped out at gates like a lame man at a gate. But God said, get thee to the door. You should be standing at the post of the door. What is it that's opening to you? What is he giving you access to? We can tend to be so negative, feeling restricted, feeling trapped. Leave the gate. Abandon that gate. Go to the door. The door is opening to you. And you have to make sure that you know what a door is and what a gate is. I'm not going to be up here long. I know Pastor always says that, but I promise you, I'm not. I even wrote these scriptures down so I could just read them to you so you don't got to turn the pages or nothing. All right? So 2017's door is opening. So now the question is, where is the door? Ezekiel 41, 3 to 4. This door is representative of the door in the temple that opened to the holiest place. So for those of you who are not familiar with how the temple of the Jews was built, how Solomon's temple was to be built, there was an outer court and an inner court, and then there was a holiest place, okay? We talk about a lot about four here because God's given us that not only the revelation that four means a full supply, but also he causes us to live under that supply constantly. We have a unique anointing for supply in kingdom life. But when you see three, that is something very holy because it's the structure of God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. That's how 1 John says it. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. He's three in one, means he's triune. He's inseparable. And we have to be careful with that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Just because that kind of messes your minds up. It's not the three musketeers. It's not three guys all hanging out together. You lose that oneness and you start to make him as unto a mortal man, and that's not correct. 1 John 5 puts it best. He's Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. So there's no separation. Just Father, Word, Holy Ghost. He's triune. He can't be separated. Your three parts, body, soul, and spirit, we can separate that. That's tripartite. But he's triune. That means three in one. So anytime you see three in one, that's a holy representation of God. We were made body, soul, spirit in his image, right? When we fell, now we're always in trouble. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Those three fallen things. But it's still his holy image is pulling us back, okay? So that's a side note. That was free. But anyway. Triune. So we go from that outer court where some of you guys are hanging out, not really stepping into the presence of God. And then that inner court where you connect with one another, recognizing your brothers and your sisters that we are connected through Christ. But then there's this inner place called the holy place. And that door that God is opening for 2017, God told me to tell you, is him opening access to the sacred place of your purpose. What he actually made you for. Some of you think you know, but you're going to find out it's something different. And some of you don't know, and it's going to be so good for you to finally know God, what did you actually make me for? Did you make me for this job? Did you make me for this partner, this spouse? Did you make me to be this mother? All of these things we look at in our natural life, but we're all called to show forth the glory of God. That's our primary call. And now the avenue by which you show it forth, that is what he is going to continue to reveal to you in 2017. So he's opening the door to the sacred place. Let me tell you about this door. The Bible says in Ezekiel 41, 3 through 4, that this door is 2 feet deep, 6 feet wide, and has 7-foot door jams. The significance of those numbers is important. Number 2 in the Bible always represents dominion. All work that accomplishes dominion in the word is done in pairs. When God made man in his image, man and woman, he made them, and he called their name Adam. He did not call her Eve. He called their name Adam. Two connected completely. And when he made them, he said, let who have dominion? Let them have dominion. So from creation, two things together get the job done. Let me hear you say, it takes two. Go ahead and say it. I know you had to get that off. You had to get that off. Right. It takes two to make a thing go right. And it does. So you got two, and that's how we get dominion. When Jesus was in the earth, it was Jesus and the Holy Ghost getting things accomplished. When God created the heavens and the earth, it was through the word. So it was Father Word. He spoke the word, and the world was made. So anytime something major is getting done, it takes two to get it done. That's why you got two kidneys to clean out your system, two lungs to get the breath in your mind, two halves of your brain to control two sides of your body, two feet to go where he calls you, two hands to do his work. Everything gets done in dominion. There's always two. And if you would together consider yourselves one body and follow the head the pastor God's given us, us too, oh my God, we will take this city for Christ and they will never have seen anything like we're doing. But you're dividing yourselves. So in order to walk through this door, you have to recognize the need for dominion. The pastor said a few weeks ago, we weren't designed to do it by ourselves. So God is going to call someone alongside of you to do this work. It may be an entity, it may be an organization, it may be a person, but there is dominion in two. So something is coming alongside you to do this work. This door is 2 feet deep. The dominion posts. The other doors in the temple don't have these same dimensions. These are unique dimensions. Second, the door is 6 feet wide. Six is the number of man because we were created on the sixth day. We were his crowning creation. And many times people say, oh, well, six is the number of man. Like, man is a bad thing. But man is not a bad thing. Man is God's favorite thing. He made us special. Every single day of creation, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, all show him creating things in nature. And another day I can tell you how each one of those natural things he created is actually absorbed into our body. Those are our parts. We are the whole. We are connected to this earth. Genesis chapter 2 says these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. There was a seed in the ground, and before that, the water came up on the ground, watered the seed grew, and then it says plants came out of earth, and then it says we did. We are the generations of the heavens and the earth. We're actually connected to the earth. Soil has the same chemical composition as our bones. Check it out. We're actually made from this earth. And so God made us as the crowning, conclusive, whole achievement of his creation. So six in his mind is a good thing. And so this door is 6 feet wide. It's exactly the width necessary for the divine purpose for which you were created to go through. Nothing else will fit. Nothing else will fit. And some of you are trying to carry stuff with you where you're going. And as the word he gave me this morning said, some of you are trying to carry things that are painful and you need to leave them behind. But you dissemble them and then try to bring them with you. How do you dissemble them? You rationalize. Because you have come to a conclusion in your mind that makes you feel good about why that bad thing happened. Y'all are so busy. Like, humans are desperate to explain why bad things happen. That is a result of the fall. It is not our job. It's not our job. But we spend, how many people, be honest, spend an inordinate amount of time needing to understand why something went wrong? Because you feel like if you know, then next time you can make it go right. You can't make nothing do nothing, not by yourself. You, We spend a lot of time in this carnal space trying to figure out what exactly went wrong, but we fail at that. Why? Because of the fall in Genesis 3. After Adam sinned, and it was both male and female Adam, but both had to do it before Adam could sin because they were two parts of one. Side note again. So both had to do it. Married couples, stop cooperating in mess. You both got to get on board to blow the thing up. That was free. Okay, so I don't want to lose y'all. It's early. But you got to cooperate for mess. Don't cooperate. Somebody got to stay saved till the other one get back. And some of you give up your salvation. And the first, you just ready. I'm telling you, before the marriage counseling calls come in, let me tell you. This is what I'm going to say. Where are you with God? Because if your behavior does not make you ashamed in front of him. Well, first lady, I just couldn't take it. No, if you knew what she said to me. You justifying, you rationalizing. So instead of recognizing where your character is falling short of God, you rationalize it. That's how you break it down in pieces and try to bring it with you. That's a rationalization example. So am I clear on rationalization? Okay. Because rationalization is your effort to maintain the integrity of yourself. Because we don't want to be broken up in ourselves. We want to love ourselves. We want to have ourselves be right. And so when we rationalize, we take things apart to make us correct. And then we want to bring that with us and put it back together on the other side so we can still be us. But you're going to have to be somebody else. You're going to have to be who he made you to be. The door is only 6 feet wide. Nothing else will fit. So leave some things behind. He will give you divine insight on some things that matter for you to know how it went. And some stuff you may not ever understand. Some stuff goes wrong just because we live in a fallen world, in bodies of death that are dying all the time. Some things just go wrong because of sin in the earth. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Things go wrong because the devil is working. And you sometimes blame everybody but him. God, why didn't you do this? God, why didn't you do that? Why didn't Pastor tell me? Why didn't First Lady show me? Your wife thinks everybody did me wrong. Do you know you have an adversary? And he wants to take you out. But you have power over him. And I tell you where he can't go, into this sacred place. He cannot go into the sacred place. It's only wide enough for your divinely created purpose to get through. That is the door that is opening right now. It's just creaking open. Creaking open. 2017, so much divine purpose is going to be manifested. You're going to be breathing more deeply than you ever have. You're going to have more joy than you've ever had because you're going to be completely plugged into what God made you for. And that joy is going to supersede all the other things materially that you thought you wanted because of where you're going to be plugged in with him. Is anybody excited about being plugged in with God till nothing else matters? 6 feet wide. So here's this door. It's 2 feet deep. It's 6 feet wide. And then on each side of the wall of the door, this side and this side, is 7 feet. Seven is the number of God's perfection. As he opens this door, it will be perfectly placed so you don't miss it. Don't worry about missing the door. That's another thing that gets us off as Christians. We're just like, okay, something's coming. I don't want to miss it. Was that it? And you can't even sleep at night. Was that it? Did I miss it? Oh, God, I missed it. Don't let me miss it. What if I missed it? I miss it. He's going to make this one real easy. It's going to be right there. Isn't that exciting? It's just going to be right there. When you look up, you feel a breeze blowing by you. Where's that wind coming from? Because the door is open. And the breeze is just blowing by, and you didn't even see it coming, didn't hear it coming, but there it will be. I guarantee you, God's word will not fail. This is his word for you today. It's going to be situated perfectly so that you can't miss it. He has already this year been turning your path little by little, degree by degree, to get you in the position for that. And there are things that you had no idea why you had to sidestep, backstep, box step, and all that to get there. But you're going to look up, and that breeze from that door is going to be blowing right by you. Life like you'd never expected would be for you is coming. Crystal, girl, girl. Everybody look at Crystal, say, girl, you don't know, but God is going to bless you so much in 2017. You just don't know. My God. Yes, rejoice, rejoice with them who rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Thank you, God. Receive it. Receive some stuff for you, too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because as in the book of Revelations, it said, she's been through some stuff, but she's kept the faith, and she has a little strength yet left. And God's going to open a door that no man can open. See, God knows when your strength is getting low. He see the gaslight. He see the gaslight. He see the gaslight. Some of us are rolling through here on fumes, and we're wondering, do God see the gaslight is on? He see the gaslight. He see the gaslight. Trina, that door's opening for him. That door is opening for him. He see your gaslight. God is not ignorant of where you are. He's not ignorant of what you're going through. Yes, he does care. Yes, he does love you. He's not going to let you fall off on the side of the road. It won't be so. It won't be so. Do you believe God? Believe God. Refresh your belief. Refresh your belief. Get that thing back in front of you that you've been scared to really put your faith on because it took so long that maybe it's not coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. But you have to receive that for yourself. I can't give it to you, but it is coming. I don't know how else to emphasize how much it is coming. So there is where the door is. It is the door to the holiest place, the sacred purpose, your sacred calling. And Kingdom Life Church is going there. The doors are opening like you would not believe, and we can't go without you so that what's on ahead is coming down. Always confess that. What is on the head is coming down. Amen? So you understand the post of the door. You understand the width of the door. You understand the positioning of the door. But now the question is, who is the door? Who is the door? Jesus. John chapter 10. I'm rolling. It's 11:40. I'm rolling. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his sheep by name and leadeth them out. If you don't hear God calling you by name, that ain't the door. If you don't hear him calling your name, that ain't the door. How do you know if he's calling your name? Well, first of all, that door is going to line up with the word because Jesus is the word and the word is the door. So if the door is going to compromise your salvation, take you outside of the body that he's planted you in, cause you to make poor financial decisions, implies that you need to be impulsive, then that ain't the door. If the door doesn't line up with the word, because the word is the door, it's not the door. Is that clear? It's not difficult, but sometimes it's hard. It's not confusing, but sometimes it's hard because you've been waiting for that door. So when you hear a creak, you're like, is at the door. But if it doesn't line up with the word, it cannot be the door. Do not let God move you out of the house where you have been planted. I hear that prophetically right now. Do not let God move you out of the house where you have been planted. I am saying God is telling me that. If you believe me as a prophet that I am, you will hear me. Not because I'm trying to hold on to a member. Because believe me, in 13 years of pastoring, there have been some times when I wish a member, well, anyway. I'm not trying to hold on. As someone in here who's pastored longer than I have, Bishop, can I get an amen? Amen. So sometimes, but glory to God, y'all have pastor, and he's so wonderful. He just loves, he want to keep everybody. But I First Lady get off sometime. But I'm back. all who he gives us. I'm saying that you are positioned to receive, and the enemy will try to pluck you out. Don't allow it. That's not the door. Some of you have gifts that you feel like, I've been here, this gift isn't being used. Your time is coming. Just like Trina said earlier, there's so many gifts here. Look how many gifts we were able to see today operate in a new way. The time is coming. God is taking him somewhere. I don't even know how to put words on it. But he's not going to be here all the time. And we have to support that. So we're going to be here. And he's going to be calling on us to carry things forward for the house. And so, yes, those doors are going to begin to open in the ministry. Don't allow the enemy to pluck you out for impatience to be seen or for impatience to be on top of, impatience to be in charge of something, because you will suffer for it. And we will welcome you back with open arms to heal you. But why bother? Why bother? All right? So, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and the robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear whose voice? His voice. And he calleth his own sheep how? By name. Be prepared to recognize your new name, by the way. Why do they keep calling me that? Be prepared to recognize your new name. Some of you have identified yourself in a way that is not conducive or not congruent with who your eternal identity is. And so when he calls you by the name that is matched to your eternal identity, you get confused. But be prepared to answer to your name. You will know it's your name. Answer your name. Be confident and answer to your name. Amen. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Doors are always associated with speech and sound in the Bible. God constantly compares in the Bible doors to lips. So it's a lot about voice. When the word says, behold, my voice stands at the door and knock, it's literally his voice that is knocking. It's all about hearing. That's why it's so important to be in the Word, because when you're constantly in the Word, you become familiar with the sound of his voice. Then when his voice knocks, he will answer. You will know his voice. Sometimes you're in a stranger's voice because you're asking other people to do this for you. You're listening to the pastor's voice. You're listening to the televangelist's voice. You're listening to the radio voice. You're listening to your Facebook voice. But if you read this Word, you'll know his voice. I don't care if you don't have a master's in divinity, you haven't studied exegesis, homiletic, blah, 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 because I haven't either. But I know his voice. I know what his voice sounds like. And I may not be able to exegetically tell you why something is wrong, but my spirit as a sheep say, that is not my God. And so I'm not moving. I hear that voice. It's telling me what I want to hear. It's telling me what I've been waiting to hear. It's saying it's going to marry me. It's saying it's going to hire me. It's saying it's going to put me up to preach. But that don't sound like my God. Just because it's telling you what you want to hear, but whose voice is it? Whose voice is it? Is it the voice of the door? Amen? Is it the voice of the door? When will it be open? I can't tell you when it will be fully open exactly, but between now and as 2017 comes in, this door is opening. Another way you don't miss it, Proverbs 26:14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. If you miss it, it'll be a lazy miss. If you miss it, it'll just be a lazy miss. A lazy miss. Because you was rolling around in your bed when the door was turning on its hinges. Just distracted by everyday life. Not willing to wage battle in the spirit. Wanting to think about something else because this is too difficult. Wanting to shut it out. Some of you are spiritually depressed. You just want to sleep all the time. You won't spiritually kill yourself because you don't want to go to hell, but... And some of you are living on the edge of that even in your natural life. That depression is beating you in the head so bad. But this word and not wanting to go to hell is keeping you from taking your own life. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that suicidal spirit. In Jesus' name, it won't take one person out of this house. that there'll be joy in your life, 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 joy in your life. Those voices telling you to kill yourself, that is not the voice of God. My God doesn't say things like that. He, the devil, is a liar. My God don't say things like that. That's the devil telling you, you got to take yourself out of here. That's the devil telling you, you trapped and there's no other way to go. He is a liar, and I bind that lie. I send it back to the pit of hell. You will not undermine the anointing of the people of God with your lies. I call every hormonal balance in check in Jesus' name. Heal them, God. Heal their brains. Heal their souls. Heal their minds, God. Healing. Oh, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He can't get you to act crazy, so he's going to try to mess with your mind. But he is lying. And don't you be afraid to open your mouth and say, shut up, devil, shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. You're a liar. You're a liar. I'm not going to die young. That way it ain't going to kill me. I'm not going to be a crime victim. I don't receive that disease. You're a liar. Oh, devil, you've been found out. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. My God. I know it's a traumatizing time to live in. We see all kinds of diverse, terrible things and murders on television and gunshots flying out your window, but it shall not come nigh your dwelling place because, honey, the door that he is opening in 2017 has the blood on the post. Blood on the post. Hey, my sorobo shataha. Some of you need to go old school. You go home and get you some oil. Olive oil, Crisco oil, Wesson oil. I don't care what kind of oil it is, but you dedicate it to God. Step out on your front step and you slap that grease up on that door. Not my house, not my post, not my dwelling place. Oh, do it today. You're going to receive a healing in your body. Let me tell you something. Neuroscientists know that when you are traumatized, it actually changes your DNA. And when your children are born, they carry the trauma in their DNA. Some of you were born traumatized. And if you're African American, you was definitely born traumatized. Because from slavery till now, they've been attacking us, beating us, killing us, excluding us. But you are not trapped even by your DNA. Do you know how I know? Because DNA looks like a ladder. Has anybody ever seen DNA? It looks like a ladder that's twisted, right? Well, my Bible tells me that Jacob saw a ladder. And the angels were traveling up and down that ladder, remaking, refixing, rejiggering your DNA. Trauma can't live in your body. Homosexuality can't live in your body. Fear can't live in your body. Mental illness can't live in your body. Because the angels of God are going up and down, making a change. Oh, my God. And you won't have to wrestle for it like he did. Woo! Reach your hands up right now. There's a healing cloud. It's coming down. It's coming down. If I was you, some of you, I'd have jumped up on my chair trying to get up on that thing. That healing cloud is coming down. It's going backwards, up and down that genetic ladder. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind alcoholism, drug addiction, pornography addiction, I bind everything that raises itself against the knowledge of God and tries to share space with my mind where Christ lives. You are evicted in Jesus' name. You can't share space here. You can't share space here. There's no sublet. Close the door. Close the door. Close that door. Close that door. Close that door. Close that door. That's not the open door. Ha! Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Last thing, and I'm almost done. Last thing. Psalm 141 and 3. Woo! Turn there for yourself, because I'm not going to read it yet. I want you to get there. Psalm 141 and 3. Oh, shakara-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. My God, my God, my God. Are you there? Psalm 141 and 3. Read it with me. Set a watch, O Lord, before my what? My mouth. Keep the what? Of my what? Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. My fourth point here. The first thing I told you, what a door is for. Second, where the door is. Third, who is the door? Fourth, when will it open? And fifth, stay in agreement. You can talk yourself out of position with your offhanded comments and your practice scripts and the stuff you've been saying all your life because your mama said it and your grandmama said it and that's just the way y'all talk. You don't mean nothing by it. The devil is a liar. Words have life. By a word, the earth itself was created. Do you believe that? If by the word the sun hung into the heavens and the moon and the stars, if by the word fish and birds came bursting from the water and flew in the firmament, if by the word trees took root in the ground and produced fruit that would allow them to reproduce, if a word could create all these things where there was nothing, do you not realize the power of every single thing that you say? Stay in agreement so you don't get out of position when that door opens. I was at a conference this week in New Orleans, and I was having lunch with a breakfast yesterday morning with my colleague, and we were talking about things that we were dreaming about, and her husband is a software developer, and he's working on some apps, and she's just like, God gonna bless us. He gonna sell one of these apps to Google. And go ahead and millionaire. And we were talking about this magazine that we like that has all these luxury things in it. And I said, and I was getting ready to say, I don't know that I'll ever be rich enough, will ever be rich enough for X. And my Holy Ghost smushed my face with his hand. So I could not finish the sentence. I'm talking. I'm saying, well, I don't know if we'll ever be. You know what? I'm not going to say that. I felt him pull me. Why? Because I want some material thing? No, but because I don't know what God's will for me is in that area. He might want to make me a billionaire so that I can have a life-changing impact on this world. He might want to make me a billionaire so I can fund the vision of the kingdom. And I'm not going to shut my door with my mouth just chatting at breakfast. You have got to get serious about what comes out of your mouth. And we talk by habit. That's just your saying. That's just the way you go. And you do it by habit. And you're not listening to what you're saying. But it matters. Because you are creating your world with your words. The creative power is in the word. You don't have to be saved for your words to be creative. Maya Angelou knew this. She wrote down and said that if people come into her home and speak negative words, she would send them out because she can't have those words falling in the pots where she cooks her food and falling on the bed where she lays her head. She wouldn't have it. And we all love her. But the Bible tells you every idle word will be judged. The Bible tells you set a guard to your lips and you let it roll past you. Don't let that roll past you. If you allow the lips of your mouth to move just away from that door, you will miss it for being out of agreement. I'm going to ask you to become a fanatic for the rest of this year about what you say out loud. If somebody says to you, okay, you're taking it a little far, you know you're doing it right. Because that's how you get where other people don't get, by going where they think is far. you know what? It ain't far. When my husband brought me here to Baltimore many moons ago, some of y'all were around and remember how much I did not love my new city yet. Minister Cheryl used to joke me that I would say, introduce myself. My name is Anita and I'm not from Baltimore, like in one long sentence. It was a little bit of a difficult transition for me because I like totally grew up in a different environment. So Baltimore was a little much for me, a little much for me. But you know, y'all done blacked me up and I'm coming in. I'm almost there. But it's so important how I was confessing that. But then when Pastor and I stepped into this position, the Lord convicted me. He said, how can you constantly say that you're not from here? You're separating yourself from the place where I called you to serve and the people I called you to love. And I stopped saying it. It was like a joke, but he didn't think it was funny. You have to catch yourself. Are you speaking to your destiny or not? Are you speaking into your purpose or not? Are you guarding the doors of your lips or not? But one thing that was funny about my Baltimore friends was that they had a different estimate of distance than I did. And so what they call far, I didn't really think was far. Like, we were here, and then I'd say, well, let's go eat this place. And I was, oh, no, that's way out the east side. Well, let's move here. Oh, you live way out in the county. And when I finally went to the east side, it was like 20 minutes. It was like 20 minutes. It's like 20 minutes in the car. And the whole everybody I had met, oh, that's way out, way out. It's not as far as you think it is. And neither is this door. You're so used to staying local that you think anywhere but where you are is far. But this door is not far. Start talking your way there. Start using your lips to get there, baby. It's just about 20 minutes. You ain't gonna be long on this path. Get on that beltway and roll with Father, because he is taking you where you've been dying to get. You thought it was far, but it's not far. You thought it would be hard, but it's not gonna be hard. All you have to do is what God asked you to do, and you will get there. Stay in agreement. Your mouth is your vehicle. I'm going to close by saying this at 11:59 p.m. Ha-shabaha. I'm going to close by saying this. 2017's door is opening. Get your emotional and spiritual house ordered, sorted, and packed. Leave some stuff behind. Not everything is going to fit through the door. Don't try. Some things will be painful to let go of. And some of it is pain to let go of. Believe God is going to do what, who said? He said he would do. Refresh your belief. Recommit to your belief. Pursue your belief. Amen. Stand on your feet. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory. Hey, you are not defeated. Huh? You are not trapped. The door is opening. Be excited about it. Be excited about it. I was talking to a young lady the other day, and we were having a really important conversation, actually, clearing some old hurts and pains that I didn't know I had hurt her in a certain way, and she didn't know she had hurt me in a certain way. And we found out we was both hurt, and the other one didn't know they had hurt each other. Sometimes we came to all kind of incorrect conclusions about our pain. Felt so good to work through that and let that go. Because you know what we both figured out? Was it going to fit through the door? Was it going to fit through the door? And that was just a few days ago, and I knew that in my spirit, the anointing that God has on my life to preach the gospel was going to increase, and that pain wasn't going to fit through the door. So I'm letting my stuff go. I suggest you do the same thing. Amen. And sometimes when we are hurt, especially in relationships, and some of you need to do the exact same thing that me and this young lady did, is go have a conversation with somebody. And really correct it. Really come back into a relationship. because we like to avoid that and just be like, well, I'm just going to let it go and go ahead. But you haven't really let it go and you haven't reconnected. And by not being connected, you're losing your twosome thing. So I say get busy. Get busy mending fences and embracing others and forgiving and letting go. Get busy as you can get with it. Because, honey, why would you want to get out of position? The door is perfectly positioned for you not to miss it, to take you where you're supposed to go, and you're going to get out of position by talking about pain when you could be resolving pain. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Glory to God. I'm so excited. But what I said to her was, you know, I'm receiving these new anointings. I'm receiving this new call. And we talked about obedience of being one thing, that you do what God says to do. Sometimes you do it, but you're not willing. And then we talked about being willing and obedient, right? I'm willing to do what God said do. I'm not just going to grit my teeth and do it, but I'm actually willing to do it. And then I told her, something just lit up in my spirit. I felt butterflies in my spirit. I said, but you know what? I thank God because he's taken me on being willing to be obedient. I'm excited. I'm anticipating doing exactly what he asked me to do because I know it's going to be amazing. I want you to anticipate how good it's going to be to be obedient. And receive that. What do I need you to be obedient about? Don't forget that directive. Put a watch on your mouth. Put a watch on your mouth. Judge every word that you speak. Because the only thing that can quiet your running mind is your running mouth. You can't be saying one thing and thinking a totally different thing at the same time. It's not possible. At some point, either you're going to trail off and go with your mind, or your mind's going to line up with your mouth. Try it. Little experiment. Keep on talking about one thing and be thinking about something totally different. Eventually, your mind's going to line up with your mouth, or you're going to stop talking and go with your mind. Run your mouth for the rest of the year about what God is doing. Speak the word. Speak the word that's written here and speak the prophetic words that he has given you in your life. Today, last week, 2 weeks ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, God didn't forget. Don't you forget either. Amen? Amen. I love you. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. It's all we need. It's why we came. And you never, ever leave us hungry. Now, Father God, let this word be absorbed deeply into the hearts of those who heard it. I curse the birds that will come and try to steal these seeds before they take root. In Jesus' name, clear those flocks now. Clear those flocks of distress that would try to come as soon as they walk out the door. God, clear the flocks of birds that distract them from getting the seed into the ground. Father God, let their hearts absorb it. Let it take root. Let it produce fruit. And let that fruit not be choked by the cares and anxiety of this world, Father God. But we're going to pursue you. And on New Year's Eve, my God, the praise that will go up for all the doors that are wide open. And we anticipate that celebration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.